Unfortunately, Pastor Mike's a good boss, and he listened to the message last week, so he knew that was coming. I am excited to be back up here for the second week in a row. I talked last week about how we're going to be doing a bit of a two-parter. So today ties into last Sunday, so I figured the first thing I should do is kind of recap a little bit of what we talked about last weekend. And last weekend, as we're in our Ghost Stories series this summer, talking about the Holy Spirit, we introduced the idea of the Holy Spirit as a pace setter in our lives and letting the Holy Spirit lead us, letting the Holy Spirit set the pace for us. And we talked about a couple different stories of the disciples. We talked about the disciples up on the mountaintop where they had this experience where Jesus was glowing white and Elijah showed up and Moses showed up, and it was this incredible moment where if it was up to them, they would have stayed. They would have set up camp. They would have built these shelters and stayed there as long as they could, but we learned that we don't get to set the pace for our lives, and Jesus did not let them stay there and enjoy it, but he led them back down the mountain because there was more for them. And then we talked with the disciples on the walk to Emmaus. This was right after Jesus had died on the cross, and in their mind, everything was over. It was done. They were not going to go anymore. Jesus was not the pace setter anymore in their lives because Jesus was gone. But as we know, Jesus rose from the grave, and Jesus continued to lead them. He had more for them as well. He set the pace for their life. And as we closed last week, we talked about how even when it's uncomfortable, we have to just choose to press on. We have to choose to let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we have to choose to say, God, I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit into my life. I want you to set the pace. I want you to lead, even if it's not always what I want, even if it's uncomfortable. And we spent time inviting the Spirit into our life, inviting the Spirit to set the pace for us and to lead our lives. So now that we've invited the Spirit to do that, and now that we've committed for our lives to look like that, we're going to spend a little bit of time today talking about the Holy Spirit as our pace setter, and we're going to look a little bit closer at what that actually looks like. What pace are we supposed to live our lives at? What pace did Jesus live his life at while he was here on earth? Would you pray with me this morning? God, we thank you for another Sunday that we get to gather here, that we get to spend time together in community worshiping you, Jesus. I just thank you that you're here with us in this room right now, Jesus. And as we open up your word, as we spend time learning about you right now, Jesus, help our hearts to be open, help our minds to be open, help our spirits to be open, Jesus. Help our souls to be open to what you have for us this morning. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Now, as we talk about pace, when I think about pace, I was kind of thinking about a couple weeks ago. I had my nephew Cooper was hanging out with me. He's just after a year old. So he's at that fun stage where he can kind of walk, but not really. And he's learning how to walk, and he's getting a little bit braver, and he's taking farther steps. And when he was over, he was kind of figuring out how to walk for the first time. And he would get the first two steps, and the big smile would pop up onto his face, and he would be so happy because he did it. But as the head got a little heavy, you see the smile turn into a worried look because the head gets a little bit too far in front of the feet. And as you know, the face hits the ground, and then there's crying. But they don't learn. They get up. They want to walk again. It's a repeating cycle of them walking, the head getting a little bit too far forward. They kind of lose balance, hit the ground. And as this was happening, it actually made me think of a story from high school. It made me think of my good friend who probably is not going to listen to this, but if she did, she'd be a little bit embarrassed by this story, but I think that's okay. When I was in high school, I played football, and I was on a football team, and we had these water girls from our high school who would volunteer to be water girls. So during timeouts or whatever it was, their job was to pick up the case of water and run probably 30 yards out to the middle of the field and make sure that we have water. Now, this seems like a simple job, but when there's a big audience and a lot of people watching and you have to sprint 30 yards, the nerves set in a little bit for my friend Amy. She got a little bit nervous about running out onto the field, and as she picked up the water bottle and as she started sprinting out on the field to bring us water, the head started to get a little bit too far in front of the feet. So kind of like a toddler, she's losing a bit of her balance, she's losing a bit of control, and in front of probably 2,000 people, face first, into the ground, dislocated her shoulder, broke a bone in her arm, and so we actually had an ambulance at the game for the football players, but now the water girl is taking up the time on the field, the ambulance is taking care of her. Now, the reason I bring up these two stories is it's kind of silly stories, but it actually is very easy for us in life to lose control of our pace. And it actually becomes very easy for our pace to kind of control us. And just like we see when you're a baby, the pace starts to control you. You're going a little bit too fast for yourself, and yet you end up wiping out. Just like my friend Amy, she started going a little bit too fast. She lost control of her pace. Her pace controlled her, and where'd that leave her? It left her wiped out on the ground. So we want to be people who don't lose control of our pace, whose pace does not control us, because it actually can be easy to get there. It can be easy to be controlled by our pace, controlled by our schedules, controlled by our calendars in life, instead of God and the Spirit that lives inside of us. We're all busy and we all lose control of our pace a little bit. I don't know about you, but I think most of us can probably relate to this, that anytime we're asked, how are you, or how have things been, or how's life going, almost all of us would include the words busy in our response somehow. Things are good, but I'm busy. Things have been tough, life's been busy. Even all summer long, when this is the time when we're supposed to be relaxing, we pack so much relaxing into our schedules that we're actually very busy and don't relax. So we always include we're busy in our response. And I think the reason we're doing this is because the modern world today has actually become quite addicted to busyness. We've been addicted to filling up our schedules. And I think the reason this is happening is because we're a little bit addicted to distraction. And the busier we are and the more full our calendars are, the more distracted we are and the less we have to think about some of the things that we might not want to think about in our lives. And more than ever, people are filling up their schedules and packing things in really tight and hoping they can fit in more. Even when you think about children and teenagers, there's more extracurricular activity for children and teenagers today than there's ever been. Almost every single night of the week, sometimes early in the mornings before school too. And on weekends, these schedules and calendars are filling up, not leaving a lot of time for us. And I think even from a young age, we're kind of taught that being busy and going fast and life being at this extreme pace is actually good for us. Because a lot of us think of going fast and doing a lot and being busy, a lot of us associate that with maybe productivity. We think the faster we go, the more we do, the more we'll get done. That's a good thing in our lives. We got to pack our schedule to be productive. For some of us pursuing careers, we think about filling up our schedules and going fast and being busy and being full, that can actually help you climb a ladder and advance in your workplace. We're competitive people by nature, so when we think about going and filling our schedules and being in a rush, for some of us, it's the idea of passing somebody else and advancing further. But the way Jesus lived life is actually very opposite of this, as most of us know. The pace of Jesus was incredibly slow and simple. And as we look into the Bible today, we're going to look at how Jesus lived his life at this slow and simple pace, and how do we incorporate some of that into our own life. Jesus was slow, and Jesus was thoughtful, and culture today is incredibly opposite of this. We're fast, and we don't think very much. And we're conditioned our whole lives that fast is good in many different ways. When we think about restaurants and food service, when you're complimenting a restaurant, what do you say? It was fast. It went quick. It was good. The food came quick. When you're talking about traveling, what's a good flight? A short flight. A short flight's a good flight. If it goes fast, it was good. We all care about our physical bodies, but how many of us have watched a YouTube video titled Six-Pack Abs in Under 10 Minutes? We want the fast version of it. And just like we're conditioned that fast is good, we're also conditioned that slow is bad. We talk about a restaurant. Why was a restaurant bad? It was slow. Why was a movie bad? Oh, the movie was slow. The plot was slow. It was boring. How was work today? Oh, it was slow. It was boring. It's not a good thing. How'd that diet go? How are the six-pack abs coming? It took too long. I quit. I don't have them. We're conditioned that good is fast is good and bad and slow is bad. And I'm guilty of this association too. We can all think of things in our life that relate to this. And for me, I think of waiting for packages. I'm pretty impatient and I get tested when I have a package in the mail. It tests me in this. I think slow, bad. But it's probably good for me to slow down a little bit. But slow is not bad, because slow is actually Jesus. And Walter Adams puts it this way. To walk with Jesus is to walk at a slow, unhurried pace. Hurry is the death of prayer and only impedes and spoils our work. It never advances it. I love that he says impedes and spoils our work, it never advances it, because like I talked about earlier, some of the reasons we obsess with speed and being busy is because we think we're going to advance, and we think that we're going to pass people, and we think that we're going to keep climbing a ladder. But he says here that it actually, to walk with an unhurried pace is better to walk with Jesus, because the truth is, we're never going to come in second putting God first. And we obsess with hurry and busyness and advancing, and we obsess of getting further, faster. But I love that he says hurry never advances it, because as we know, God's going to do a lot more with six than we can do with seven. and hurrying in life and having this busy schedule, a lot of times when we're packing in our schedule, we care about our relationship with Jesus, and we care about it so in our busy schedules and in our busy lives, we make time with God. And for a lot of us, we do make time with God, whether that's church or a small group or whatever it is. But we allow ourselves to become too busy that we're spending time with God, but we're never spending time alone with God. And this is incredibly important. Even if you think about a relationship dynamic, I think about me and my wife. Me and my wife spend a lot of time together, and we hang out a lot. But how often do you guys sit down and go, we need to spend some alone time together. We need a date, just the two of us. Because that's important for a healthy relationship. And sometimes because of our busyness and our schedules, we make room to be with God, but we don't prioritize that alone time with God, which is essential for a relationship. What does he call the church in the Bible? He calls it his bride. We are Christ's bride. So just like your wife and husband need to spend time alone together, you and God need to spend time alone together, away from everything else. We need to make sure that we're spending time with him and slowing down. And when you're spending time with him, you have to remove those feelings of, oh, someone's passing me. Someone's advancing past me because I'm slowing right now. No, be encouraged that when you put God first, when you make him the priority in your life, you will not come second. And there's actually an old saying that if the devil can't make you sin, so if you're doing a good job staying away from sin, living a good life, and the devil can't get you there, he's going to get you somewhere else. And if the devil can't make you sin, the devil's going to make you busy. And when we sin, we know that a sinful life, it starts to put up these barriers, it starts to put up these walls between us and Jesus, and being busy starts to do the same thing. It puts a gap in between us and Jesus. It keeps us away from him to a certain extent. And I want to be pretty clear here, because a lot of us like our full schedules and we like doing the things that we do. I'm included in that. The problem is not having lots to do. It's okay to have lots to do. We all live life with a different capacity to do more or do less. So the problem is not having lots to do. The problem is when you have so much to do that it causes you to hurry through everything and not leaving room for Jesus. Hurrying is the problem. Because when are you ever having a good time when you're in a hurry? Nobody is. If you have young kids, you can probably think of hurrying out the door. Maybe it was even to get to church this morning. Hurrying out the door is not when your family is the most happiest and most positive and friendly with each other. It's hard to be in a good mood when you're in a hurry. So we want to avoid that. Dallas Willard actually says this, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day." So the more we hurry, the harder it is to have a healthy spiritual life. And Michael Zigarelli, a professor, actually puts it this way. "It may be the case that Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, and the cycle begins again." So how do we break free from this cycle? How do we let the Spirit be the pace setter for our lives? How do we slow down? How do we live a life at a pace that's much closer to the way that Jesus lived while he was here on earth? One of the examples that I love of the pace that Jesus lived comes right after Jesus gets baptized by John at the end of Matthew 3. So at the end of Matthew 3, we see that Jesus is getting baptized by John, and it's this incredible moment where John didn't even want to do it at first because he was like, who am I to baptize Jesus? But Jesus wants him to do it, just like Jesus wants us to be involved doing the work. So John baptized Jesus, and when Jesus comes out of the water, the voice from heaven says, "This is my son for whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And this is a pretty powerful moment in Scripture because this is kind of the kickstart that sends Jesus out into the world on his ministry. And when you think about Jesus getting sent out into the world on his ministry, you probably would associate the next day with busyness and a full schedule because his ministry has started and he's got stuff to do and people need him and healings have to happen. But what happens next is actually the totally opposite of what we would all think. He doesn't go to work right away. He doesn't start filling his schedule and doing all these busy things. But we see right after this in Matthew 4, verses 1 to 2. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted and became very hungry." This is incredibly different than what we would have expected. 40 days and 40 nights out in the wilderness. And in some versions of the Bible, it calls that the desert. But something important here is that the desert, when he says the desert, it doesn't actually mean necessarily just a hot and sandy place, like a desert that we think about. But it actually originates from the Greek word eremos. And when we look at the Greek word eremos, there's a couple different meanings for it. It could mean deserted place. It could mean the wilderness. The one I like and think is my favorite is the quiet place. And we see Jesus going to this eremos quite often, going to the quiet place quite often. Now, why was Jesus here? Why is Jesus in the quiet place for 40 days and 40 nights? And if you understand the story of Scripture, it's clear that Jesus has to go here to go toe-to-toe with the bad guy. Jesus is in the deserted place for 40 days and 40 nights and then tempted by the devil, good versus bad. So if Jesus is going to be tempted by the devil, if Jesus is going toe-to-toe, good versus bad, why would he do it alone after 40 days of starving himself? Why would he do it hungry? Why would he do it after fasting? Why would he fight the devil in this place of weakness? And as I spent more time learning about this, I realized I had it completely backwards because I'm so used to how we live today. Being alone and fasting is actually not a place of weakness for Jesus, but it's actually an incredible place of strength for him. This quiet place, away from hurry, away from busyness, away from everything going on, is a place of strength for Jesus. And after 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and prayer, it leaves himself at this incredibly strong place where he's ready to take on the devil himself and leave unscathed. And this place of strength, this quiet place that he goes to center himself with God, to be filled up with strength, is actually something that he did quite often. And it became a regular rhythm for Jesus' life. And if we want to live a life like Jesus, then we have to start incorporating some of his rhythms. So start thinking about the quiet place for you already. And something I love is when Jesus returned after these 40 days and 40 nights, so after he returned from the quiet place, he did have one full day of work where he was incredibly busy. It was kind of the first day of his ministry, and you can read about it through chapter Mark 1. And he's doing lots of things. There's healings. There's demon-possessed people showing up to the house at night. It's a long day of work and healing and caring for people and teaching, and it's busy. This is after 40 days of rest. So if I took 40 days of rest, I think I'd be ready to go for a while. And go and go and go. I rested a month ago. I'm good. No, Jesus rested for 40 days and 40 nights in the quiet place. He comes back, does one full day of work, and what happens the next morning? In Mark 1, verse 35, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and he went to an isolated place to pray. Here we find him back again in the quiet place, just 24 hours after he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. So very often, Jesus is removing himself, finding this quiet place to rest, find this place of strength, taking care of himself spiritually, even after a full busy day and lots of rest before. Now, all of this resting Jesus does in Scripture is very important because every time we see Jesus in the Bible, rest is very often associated with him. But every time the enemy is in the Bible, anytime the devil is in the Bible, restlessness is actually associated with him very often. And in Mark 5:5, we see this. There's a demon-possessed man, and in the day and night, he wandered among the burial caves, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. The important words here are day and night. When the enemy possesses this man, when he's demon-possessed, he doesn't get to rest, but day and night, he's going and going and going. He's restless. There's a story in Job chapter 2 where the devil actually has to report to God. And God asks him what he's been up to. And the enemy has to say that he's been nonstop roaming the earth. So again, we see that when the enemy's involved, there's no rest. It's nonstop. There's a restlessness about it. In Mark 4, when Jesus is on the boat with the disciples and the storm takes over and Jesus is sleeping in the storm, many theologians who spent time studying this actually believe that this storm had demonic roots to it. And the word rebuke is important here because Jesus rebukes the storm, so he's rebuking the demonic roots tied to the storm. But how does Jesus stop the storm? What does he say? He says to be still. He tells the storm to rest. Jesus rests while the enemy is restless. And taking part in the gift of rest actually makes us a lot more like Jesus and removes us from habits of the enemy. So how do we rest? How do we let the Spirit set the pace for our lives? How do we slow down? How do we make room for this growing spiritual life? How do we make room for a quiet place in our life that leaves us in a place of strength? Well, we have to start with last week. Last week, as we spent time in prayer, we invited the Spirit into our lives. We invited Jesus to be close to us. Because when we have Jesus close to us, when we have the Spirit in our lives leading us, it can help us set the pace. and we have to continue to press on and let the Spirit lead us like we talked about last week. Let our selfish desires of how we want to do things and how we want to live life be put to the side a little bit and prioritize what Jesus wants from us. If we want to rest, we got to go towards Jesus. It says in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." We need to go towards Jesus and be close to him and spend time with him. One of the important ways that we're going to do this is including a quiet place in our rhythms, including a quiet place in our schedules, making room for it. And there's a couple things that we're going to need to do here because the quiet place with Jesus was a place of strength. So a quiet place for us, centering ourselves around God, is going to be a place of strength for us as well. So we have to make sure that we're being intentional with this, making sure that we don't just hope we find ourselves in a quiet place or think that we're going to stumble into this quiet place and we'll remember, oh, I'm alone now. I should spend time with God. No, we have to be intentional with this moment. Pick a place, pick a time, make room for it where you're alone with God, spending time with him. The Sabbath is going to be another incredibly important part of this. We know in the creation story, Jesus created the heavens and the earth for the first 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. And we've been commanded in the Bible to make sure that every week we're taking one day to rest because we have to remind ourselves that God's going to do a lot more with six in our lives than we can do with seven on our own. We have to be intentional with spending alone time with God. We talked about it earlier with my relationship with my wife. You have to be intentional about going on dates. If you are around each other all the time, but it's just, you know, around other people or in the busyness of your life, it's not going to be as beneficial as it is spending alone time with each other and being intentional with that. So be intentional with God, spending alone time with him. Do it in silence. This is a place of strength for us. We should be encouraged and want to do this because we're going to feel centered, closer to God, and full of strength and have a better understanding of what the Spirit wants to do in our lives. I'm going to end with this. As we talk about Jesus and as you talk about the pace that he lived, it's an important part of being a believer, important part of faith is this idea of love. Jesus loves, we're supposed to love, we're called to love, but we understand that love is difficult. But the reality with love is it's incredibly difficult when you're in a hurry. When you don't have time to slow down and care and love people, it's going to be a lot more difficult when life is moving fast. So as Jesus followers, we're called to love, which means we're called to slow down. We're called to spend time resting and slowing down to make it easier for us to love. When Paul talks about love in the Bible, what's the first descripting word that he uses? Patience. Patience is far away from hurry. Patience is slow. Patience causes you to be slowing down in life. So patience is love. There's actually an awesome quote from a guy named Kosuke Koyoma who says this: "God walks slowly because he is love. If he was not love, he would have gone much faster. Love has its speed. It is an inner speed. It is a different kind of speed. It's a different kind of speed from the technological speed to which we are accustomed to. It is slow, yet it is Lord over all other speeds, since it is the speed of love." We want to be more like Jesus, and we want to love, and we want to care, and we want to be led by the Spirit, and it's going to start with us slowing down in life. And when we talk about this idea of hurry in our life, it makes me think of this book. There's a pastor named John Mark Comer who writes this book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And this is a really good book and a really powerful book, and it'll actually cause you to rethink the way you live life in a pretty serious way. And as I read this book, I took a lot of inspiration from it, and he includes four key things to take into your life to slow down, to live life at a pace closer to Jesus. So the first one is this idea of solitude. This is the quiet place. You have to include solitude into your life. You have to get away from the hurry. You have to get away from the busyness. You have to spend time alone with God. This is incredibly important. It's one that we've touched on a couple times today. The next one is the Sabbath. We have to Sabbath and be super intentional with it. And we talked about it a bit earlier, but a Sabbath doesn't mean taking a day off and watching Netflix and doing whatever you want, because if you're doing whatever you want, you're living life at the pace you desire. But we want Jesus setting the pace for our life, the Holy Spirit leading us. So when we're taking our Sabbath, when we're spending time on this day off, what are we doing? We're in the quiet place. And in the quiet place, it's just alone time with you and God. So spend time with him intentionally. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in his presence. Don't have a podcast on for a certain amount of time. Don't have a show on or music on. Just sit in silence with the Lord, which I know is difficult for a lot of us. But it's a place of strength. The next key thing that we have here is this idea of simple. Living a simple life. And I know that this is kind of a difficult one. How do I live a simple life? What does that even mean? Well, we see that Jesus lived a pretty simple life. And I think a great example of simple is that there's room for things that come up. That's a simple life. Someone invites you over for lunch, you have room to go over. Someone wants to talk to you, you have time to slow down and talk to them. Your schedule allows for you to have a good understanding of what's going on in your life, because we can all relate to having a schedule too busy that our brain starts to feel flustered and we can't think properly, and it leaves us in a place of restlessness. But like we saw earlier, when the devil can't make you sin, he makes you busy. And the devil is restless while Jesus rests. So we don't want to have ourselves in a place of feeling restless. So we need to keep our life simple enough, and that's going to look different for everybody. But simplify your life to a point where you feel like you can move at a slower pace, where you feel like you have room for a growing spiritual life with Jesus. And the last key thing that he includes in here is the idea of slow. To just intentionally and practically slow down at certain parts of your life. And for some of us, we're thinking about the big picture. We're thinking about our schedules and our commitments that we've made as we're going into the fall already. But I don't want to start there. I think it's important to actually start with just small things, picking a time in your week. Maybe there's a regular routine in your week where you drive somewhere that's actually a 15-minute walk. And maybe it's you intentionally choosing, you know what, instead of driving there, I'm going to take that 15-minute walk and I'm just going to slow down. And on that 15-minute walk, what am I going to do? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to spend time in prayer and just be there with him at a slower pace than what I usually live my life at. Because we want to be people who are letting the Spirit set the pace in our lives. And we see that Jesus lived at this incredible pace, but it's because the Spirit was in Jesus' life. And it's the same Spirit that lived in Jesus, the same Spirit that led him at this pace, that led him to slow, simple, love, Sabbath. It's the same Spirit that helps him with all of those things that can live inside of us. And last week, as we invited the Spirit into our lives, and we gave him permission to be in control, to lead us, to set the pace for us, we have to do that. And we have to slow down and not be tempted by all of our own desires and worldly things, because the enemy wants to make you busy. And the enemy wants to fill your lives to a point that there's no room for spiritual growth. There's no room for Jesus. And this is actually a really, really important topic for us today. This idea of slowing down, this idea of rest, this idea of living life at a pace closer to Jesus is really important, because we see that Jesus rests, the enemy is restless. And we don't want to be in a place of restlessness. We don't want to be in a place of busyness. Because that's when the enemy is doing a good job. He's putting up walls and gaps between you and Jesus, walls and gaps between you and a healthy, growing spiritual life. We need to rest. This is serious. God is going to do a lot more in 6 than we can do with 7. And God is going to do a lot more in our lives when we take time to be alone with him, when we take time to find that quiet place, to fill ourselves up with strength, to center ourselves around the Spirit, to let him lead us. So like we've been doing for the past couple weeks in this series, we're going to spend some time in prayer today. And we're going to find one or two or maybe even 3 people around us. Just group up. And if you're comfortable, try to pair up with someone you maybe haven't prayed with before. And we're just going to pray for rest. We're going to pray over each other that in our lives, in our busyness, in our hurry, that we'll find times to slow down. That we'll make room for rest, that we'll make room for the Spirit, make room for a growing spiritual life. So we're going to pray a prayer of rest. We're going to pray for the Spirit to lead our lives, that we can live a life at a pace much closer to Jesus. So I'm going to pray. And when I say amen, I'd love to see everyone start moving around, find a person, find 2 people, and spend time with each other praying rest over them this morning. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you came down to earth as man, fully God, to walk and live life at a certain pace, to be an example for us, to show us how we're supposed to do it. And as we look at you and as we understand the pace and the way you lived your life, Jesus, we want to live close to that. We want to try to be as close to you as possible. So we've invited you into our life. We've invited the Spirit to be filled in our lives, and we've invited the Spirit to lead us and set the pace and take over. And now that we practically know what that looks like a little bit more, Jesus, we pray that we can do it. We pray that we can commit to this. We pray that we can intentionally slow down and spend alone time with you, God, because you want that. You desire that. You desire alone time with us. We don't want to be too busy for you. And we don't want to be in a hurry, because when we're in a hurry, we struggle to love and we struggle to feel close to you. So help us rest and help us slow down. Rest is a gift from you. Jesus, we love you. We're thankful. In your name we pray. Amen.